We are in our final part here in this summer road trip series. The last couple weeks have been kind of fun for me. Today is going to be a little challenging. So I need you to take a deep breath. Some of you are still going with it. And go ahead and let it out. Turn to somebody around you and say, cut her some slack. I'm not kidding. Cut her some slack. Now turn to somebody around you and say, it's cool. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so the last couple weeks, we've been talking about being on a road trip, right? We've talked about paying the details that you pay attention to on your journey. We've talked about the obstacles and how you handle those obstacles on your journey. Today, I want to actually talk to you about a journey. I want to talk to you about a specific path. And so today, I want to talk to you about the path of discipleship. There's the deer, if you're there, right? There it is. Today, if you're there already, man, thanks for being there. If you are not on that journey, today I want to invite you to join me on that journey. So I don't know if you've ever had to, on a road trip, right? We've been talking about road trips. I don't know if you've ever had to take a toll road, but does anybody love toll roads? Heard somebody say yes. The majority of you are like, mm-mm. I despise toll roads. There's a lot of toll roads between here and Ohio, I found out at Thanksgiving. So typically I set my GPS to avoid toll roads. I would much rather pay the $50. I'd much rather drive the extra hour than pay the $50, right? If it's going to take me an hour or an extra $50, like, I would much rather just drive and be in the car for a little bit longer to avoid the toll roads. Now, sometimes toll roads are, they're just inevitable. Sometimes you have to get on a bridge and pay a fee to get across. I don't know if there's any bridges like that here where there's like no other way. You have to get on the bridge and pay the fee. No? Okay. Good. We are in a good place. Good. Right after my husband and I started hanging out, just kind of hanging out, before anybody really knew that anybody liked each other, you know, in those moments where you're like, who is this guy, right? So when we first started hanging out, we were hanging out in a big group of people, a small group of people, actually. We didn't have a big group then, but hanging out with some friends at Dairy Queen, because that's where you go. And we're hanging out one Sunday afternoon, and he had to have his car back to get it serviced for oil or something. Something was wrong, and he had to have it back by a certain time. And so he's really bad. I don't know if you have ever hung out with him, but he's really bad about time. Like, really bad about time. So typically, he will always push those limits when it comes to time. Not the greatest, but the project always gets done, right? Second row, right? Project always gets done. All right, so he's pushing the limit. He's got to have his car back. So he's like, what is the fastest way? Now, he lived about 45 minutes from the church. So he's like, what's the fastest way that I can get back home to get this car back where it needs to go for, you know, the oil change or whatever it was? I don't even know. So somebody in our group of friends says, just go down here. I wasn't super familiar, I don't think, with the area then. They said, just go down here, get on the ramp to the highway, and just stay straight. So he gets on the ramp, and he stays straight. And it's one of those ramps where it becomes your exit too. So he gets on and avoids the highway because he just stays straight. So he turns around, starts to turn around, try it again. So he gets on, gets off, comes back around, and somehow he manages to get on an access road, I guess is probably what it was, that only takes the only way off. This is the honest truth. The only way off is to get on the bridge and go into West Virginia. So I should say this. Where we were at, East Liverpool, Ohio, is a tri-state area. So you can get on one bridge and go to Pennsylvania. You can get on another bridge and go to West Virginia, all within a matter of a couple miles. So he gets on this bridge and goes over to West Virginia. So I can just imagine, because I know his personality, I can just imagine the panic that he's got. So he gets over there, He's like, what in the world? So he turns around, goes back over the bridge. Now, let me back up one more step. He had to pay each time, right? Each time to go over the bridge, come back, he had to pay again. So he attempts this ramp again. So he gets on the ramp, and he goes straight. And it's kind of like this announcement video that happened earlier. He gets on the ramp and cuts, somehow he misses the highway, cuts over, and he's like, let me just try this again. What in the world happened? So he comes back around, and lo and behold, he gets on that same access road and goes right back over the bridge to West Virginia a second time. So he comes back over. Now, my recollection of this story is a little different than his, and in fact, a little different from his mom's. We had to call his mom to make sure I wasn't lying here. So anyhow, I remember him running out of money on the toll bridge. He swears that didn't happen. I seem to remember this happening. So I don't know how he got back over the, because it my memory is typically always better. I'm always better than everything than Ryan is. But so he remembers not running. It was his experience, right? So he remembers not running out of money. He crossed the bridge for the fourth time. I also remember him going a third time, but he said that didn't happen. So crossed the bridge a fourth time before actually calling someone and saying, look, I can't figure out how to get out of East Liverpool, Ohio. I'm stuck. I keep going over the bridge. I've been in West Virginia twice, which, again, is not an uncommon thing because it's right there. So, man, the guy had to pay, I don't know, like, I can't remember what his life was like then. It's too long ago. But we don't keep change in our car now. So I can't imagine how he had change in his car then. So I don't know if you're like me, like where you keep change in your, you don't keep change in your car. Like if I accidentally end up on a toll road, Matt Wiebe can verify this. We do not ever have cash. We never have change. If I end up on a toll road accidentally, like what in the world, how did that happen? I have no clue. I'm like out of luck. I think you can now pay debit card or something like that. I don't know. Or they send it to you through the, I have no idea. But then that little bridge, you could not get over. You'd have to go all the way down and find another bridge to cross over. But every journey, let me say this, every journey will cost you something. Every journey that you're on will cost you something, whether it's a toll bridge or a toll road or just wear and tear on your vehicle or it's gas in your car. Every journey you take will cost you something, right? Everything. So as a Christ follower, right, as a disciple of Jesus, if you've accepted Christ, then you can probably start thinking about times in your life that you can point back to and say, that being a Christ follower cost me something. It cost me something a little bit. Maybe for you it was a friend. Maybe you lost a friend because you wouldn't do this or you wouldn't do that. Maybe it's a job. For me, I missed out on some job opportunities because I was a Christ follower. Because those jobs required me to be at church on Sunday mornings, and I had commitments and dedication, and I was not going to work a job that kept me out of church, and so some of you have to do that, and I understand, but for me, it wasn't going to happen, and so I've missed out on really good jobs, assistant management positions, but because I refused to work on a Sunday, I had to say no to the job. So when you become a disciple of Jesus, right, you'll find that the path of a path of a disciple will cost you something. It'll cost you something incredible because the reward is so much more incredible, right? So look at what Jesus says in Luke 9:23. It says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus says the same thing. He says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you have to be willing to deny yourself. It's going to cost you something. Somebody say, it'll cost you. Thank you. Somebody was loud. Everybody else whispers. It'll cost you something. Being a disciple means that we're not only thinking less of ourselves, but that we are actually denying ourselves. I want to say this again because a lot of times we think, well, being a Christian just means that I'm thinking less of myself, which is true. But actually being a Christian, a disciple, is not just thinking less of ourselves. It's denying ourselves. This word deny here actually means that it doesn't mean that we're denying certain things right, from ourselves. We're actually, what it means is we're actually denying ourselves. We are actually giving up control over our life. So a disciple is someone who gives up control of his life to follow Christ in every circumstance. And so this journey to follow Christ is a journey that's going to cost you something. It's a journey that is not going to be super easy, right? It's not a light path. It's the narrow path, like my husband was talking about a couple minutes ago. It's the narrow path. It's hard to find. It's hard to navigate through. And so it's not an easy journey, but the decision to follow Christ will be the most rewarding journey that you ever embark on. For me, I became a disciple of Jesus. I became a Christ follower, a disciple, almost 21 years ago, when I was just in middle school. And so for the last 21 years, I've been doing my best, right, to figure out what it really means to be a Christ follower. What does it really mean to be a disciple? What does it really look like? And so right after I accepted Christ in my life, I knew I needed to do something. It was like I was sitting on my hands, right? Like I needed to get up, get going, do something. I knew from a really young age that God had called me to preach. And for me, it was kind of a crazy idea. Because 20 years ago, there were not very many. So there wasn't media like social media like we have now, right? There was nobody in that I had ever heard, no female preacher that I had ever heard. And so for me, it was like, man, God, do you even do that? Like, would you even, did I come up with, is this me? But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had called me to preach. I knew it. And so whether it had been done in my view or not, I had to stand on the word. I couldn't let go of it. I couldn't dismiss it. And so after a couple years, I heard of a person, a woman who was a youth pastor, just a phenomenal youth pastor. Her name's Jeannie Mayo. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, if she's got some books. She's back then, she was the youth pastor at one of the largest AG churches. And so I began to watch her and I began to follow her. And so I started sitting on, I got saved and had this dream and had this vision and kind of knew what I wanted to do. And I couldn't figure out how to get there, right? But there was just something inside of me I couldn't let go of anymore. And so for me, I thought the next step for me would be to serve in kids ministry. Like, I like kids. I'm speaking then. I don't typically enjoy little kids now. But I love teenagers. Y'all are fun. Little kids, they make me really nervous. So then when I was a teenager, I loved kids. I had nieces and nephews. They were super young. And so I loved kids. And I wasn't very old. I was inexperienced. So, like, I didn't know stress levels or anything like that. And so I loved kids. So I thought I would serve in kids ministry. All my friends were serving there. So I got involved in kids ministry and started working with one of the best kids pastors that I ever, by far, have ever encountered. Started working with him and just kind of sharing little object lessons here and there. But man, I was just so excited. Just so excited to be doing something. Just so excited to be up off of a pew and actually doing something. Man, I knew every time that I had the opportunity to talk through an object lesson or talk through this or talk through that, that I was able to be a part of the gospel being presented to these kids. And that was huge. That was huge for me. So I didn't even understand. I didn't even know how the experiences that I had then or would have, how they would shape who I am today. And so I learned something really valuable during that time as I first started serving and kind of throughout my life now I've been serving and learned something kind of valuable, and it's this. So a disciple is someone who's serious about his faith. And so this is what I've learned. If you're serious about your faith, then you're serious about serving. I'm just going to preach to them because y'all are too quiet. If you're serious about your faith, then you're serious about serving. Because here's the thing. Faith and serving, they go together like BFFs, right? You can't separate them. You can't only have faith and not serve. And you can't serve without faith truly serving. So they go together, and so many times, man, we try to say, well, if I just have faith, then it's enough. All you need is faith, right? But man, faith and serving, they go together like best friends. They're always together. So Jesus, man, if he's the one that we follow, if he's the one that's our example, if he's the one that we go to look to, right, to look to for direction, then we have to look at him and say, okay, well, what does Jesus say about serving? What does he say about all of this? So Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So often we have this give me attitude. It's okay, hang with me. It's gonna get painful, but it'll get better, I promise. So often we have this give me attitude, right? Where we go to church just for me. We go to church just to fulfill our obligation so we can feel better about ourselves on Monday morning, right? We go to church just to feel better about ourselves, just because it's the right thing to do. Sometimes we don't even know why we go to church. So the idea of serving is so crazy, right? It's so crazy because we have a hard enough time getting up out of bed on Sunday mornings, getting off the couch, right? Eating our cereal, getting off of the couch, shutting the TV off, getting in the car, and actually making it to church. Let me tell you what a give me attitude is. This is a give me attitude. If you've ever said these words, you might have a give me attitude. If you ever said this, this is gonna be hard. Okay? Because I've said this stuff, I've been here. So I already know how it feels. If you've ever said this, I'm just not really being fed there anymore. You might have a give me attitude. I'm just not really getting anything out of that church anymore. You might have a give me attitude. If you've ever said, this is totally me, not here, because I have responsibilities, and I love Jesus more. If you've ever said, I'll just catch the message online later and hit the snooze, you might have a give me attitude. If you occupy a pew more than you serve, you might have a give me attitude. And listen, I'm not saying all this mean stuff just to be mean and because it's my last, week in the series. Like, that's not, I just say it, drop it, and run. That's not it. See, because I've been serving a long time. A lot of you have been serving a long time. See, we have to be careful that we don't live with a give me attitude, but instead with a give all attitude. We have to be careful that we're not waking up with this mentality. What is the church going to do for me? What's the church going to do for me? What's the church going to do for me? If I go to Green Bay First, what are they going to do for me? If I go over to this church, what are they going to do for me? But instead, what if I go to Green Bay First and I give everything I have? And listen, I'm not even talking about finances today. I did that a while ago. But what if I got up on Sundays? And what if I got up Mondays? Holy cow, that's another series. What if I got up with a give all attitude? Here's the thing, as disciples, listen, man, I know it's really hard to fall in that place. I lived in that place for a long time, straight up. Lived in that house. Give me attitude. Not going to that church because they don't have anything for me. Not going to that church because there's no place for me. I've said that. I've left churches because that was my attitude. I'm not going back there anymore because there ain't nothing for me. There's no opportunity for me. I'm not getting anything out of it. I don't like that preacher. I don't like that pastor. I don't like the board. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm not going back. So you have to be careful that we're not living with a give me attitude, but instead with a give-all attitude. So here's the thing, as disciples, man, if we're following Christ, right, he is our example. He is our leader. As disciples, if Christ is our leader, if Christ is our example, then our only action, our only response is to mimic him. Our only response, our only action is to follow him and act like him. And so if he serves, then we have to serve. We might make excuses about how we're too busy and why we're too busy. And I get it, man. I understand. Life is busy. Little kids require a lot. I get it. I mean, it's sort of, because I have a dog. It's like I sort of get it, compared to my dog to your kids a lot, but it's all I've got. I get it, man. Life is busy. Life is chaotic. But sometimes we make up excuses that keep us from serving. Sometimes we make up excuses as to why we couldn't serve or why we shouldn't serve. But if Christ is our leader and Christ is the one that we look to, then our only reaction, our only response should be to serve. And so as a disciple, man, a disciple is one who denies himself, not one who denies the cross, right? We do the hard thing. We do what's hard. Serving is hard. Changing poopy diapers is gross. Getting peed on by a baby in your church clothes or getting thrown up on, I've done that. Getting thrown up on by a teen, no, just kidding, by a baby in your church clothes is gross. Nobody wants to do that. Amen, brother, right? And some of you are like, oh, it's just, it's so cute. Baby vomit is not cute. If you amen that, but you don't amen anything else, All right, so here we go, right? So there's a story in the book of John, and I want to catch just the tail end of it here, but there's a story in John that I want to read, just the tail end. And so Jesus goes to his disciples. They're hanging out. They're eating because that's what church people do. That's what disciples do. We eat. And so they're hanging out, they're eating, and so what was customary then was that they would wash their feet before they eat. They'd come into the house, right? They walked all over the ground, they walked through donkey poop, and so they would come into the house with yucky feet, and so they didn't have nice tables and chairs like we have. We see some kids' stories, right, pictures, and they're sitting on that. That's probably not really what happened. And so they were sitting on the floor a lot of times, right? They're eating off the floor, and their feet, stinky feet, were right there. So Jesus turns to his disciples, and he serves them. And I love this part of it. John 13, starting in verse 12, says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am.'" Verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash someone else's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, I got to imagine if I was sitting there and Jesus came up to me to wash my feet, I'd be like, "Skirt, no thanks. I ain't clipped my toenails recently. Get away from me," right? The disciples are probably like, "Ooh, Jesus, that's dirty. That's not for you," right? "Jesus, you're the Messiah. You shouldn't be washing our feet." Jesus said, "No, you don't get it. I'm here to serve you." He said, I'm here to lay my life down for you. And so he says, in the same way that I'm laying my life down for you, you have to be willing to do the hard thing. You have to be willing to serve others. And I love that, right? A disciple, man, who is serious about their faith. And so if you're serious about your faith, then you're serious about serving. If serving is beneath you, if you're too good for serving, this is one of those other painful moments. If serving is beneath you, man, I would question your faith. Because serving and faith, they go together. Jesus was our primary example. You cannot have the story of Jesus and tear apart all the serving part. You can't have the story of Jesus and tear apart the part that he laid himself down for the church, served the church. So when we think about serving, we have to understand that serving isn't an obligation. It's a burden. See, you can walk away from an obligation, right? You can walk away. You can say, no thanks, I'm not feeling that anymore. You can walk away from an obligation, but you cannot walk away from a burden. A burden will keep you. A burden will keep you a lot longer than obligation will ever hold you. A burden will drive your heart, your soul, and your mind. As a disciple, when you're burdened for the lost, you'll do anything short of sin to reach them. You'll do anything short of sin. If you truly have a burden for the lost in your city, you'll do anything short of sin to reach them. And that means serving. Serving is the hard part. Sometimes we get this mentality that like giving is hard, giving financially is hard, and it is. Sometimes serving can be just as hard. Sometimes being willing to make a commitment to serve can be just as gut-wrenching as pulling out your wallet and trying to give some money. So here's what happens when serving becomes an obligation. Here's what happens. When serving becomes an obligation, it's real easy the first couple months. You sign up to serve, no big deal. Yes, I'll be there. I'll work the cafe because that's easy. I don't know. Yes, I can do that. That's within my realm. I can do that. The first couple months are simple. Months 3, 4, maybe even 5, you're like, why did I sign up to do this? I don't even like those kids. I don't even like coffee. I hate the smell of coffee. Why would I serve in the cafe? And you wake up angry. Man, I gotta serve today. Gosh, I gotta go because I told so-and-so I would be there. You wake up angry. You get in the car, you fight on the whole way here. Your heart is not in it. You're like, I'm quitting. Today, I'm quitting. I'm quitting as soon as I get there. I'm going to tell them right then, I quit. I'm never doing this again. So you get there, and you're like, man, they expect me there. So I can't quit. I'll have to wait until I'm done, you know, with service. Then I'll quit. But you get in there, and your attitude is already wrong. Your heart is already wrong. And so what happens is you've already robbed the people you're supposed to be serving, right? You've already robbed yourself of what God might do through you, because it's not just about when you serve, it's not just about the people that you're serving, but it's about you too. And so when serving becomes an obligation, right, it's super easy to quit. It's super easy to get frustrated. It's super easy to get overwhelmed. It's super easy to just walk away. John 13:17 says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So if you serve others, right, if you deny yourself, if you're willing to walk with that give all attitude, if you're willing to follow Christ, if you're willing to get up early and be at the church early, if you're willing to be prepared for whatever you're here for, if you're willing to prepare your hearts, and if you're willing to show up early and get the supplies and do what you need to do so you're not walking in late. And Jesus says, if you do this, if you're willing to serve in the way that I've served, then your life will be blessed. You'll experience God's blessing on your life when you weren't even looking for it, because of your willingness to serve others. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." You are serving the who? The Lord. See, we have to remember that although we're serving men and women and kids, people here in the natural, we're serving Jesus first and foremost. And so when we, this is going to get painful, take a deep breath. When we call Pastor Lois at the very last moment, we say, "Hey, Pastor Lois, I'm not going to make it." Click. It's not just Pastor Lois that you're canceling on. It's not just Pastor Nathan that you're canceling on. You're canceling on the kids that you're supposed to be reaching. You're canceling on the lost. And so, man, if we would come in with a good attitude, if we would come in with joy, man, if we would come in with our best hearts prepared, right? Our best attitude. Sure, the people will enjoy it. The people will get something out of it. But first and foremost, God will be honored because we're responding to him above and beyond anything in the natural realm. Serving isn't an obligation, right? It's a burden. But check this out. A burden will keep you serving long after the feeling of obligation has left. There's joy and fulfillment in serving. As a youth pastor back in Ohio, the nursery leader, worker, person, she came to me, we were really good friends, and she came to me and she said, "Hey, Jenna, I'm really in a bind. I need you to serve in the nursery." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't mind serving like one. How about I take your fifth Sundays?" Now, fifth Sunday people, you're really good, right? I give you props. Because for me, fifth Sundays, like you've only got like four of them a year. But like fifth Sundays, like by the time the fifth Sunday rolls around, I'm like, "Oh man, I gotta serve in nursery." And I'm like praying that there are no kids who show up, right? I'm praying, "God, please don't let us have any babies today. God, I pray for a flu." Just kidding, I didn't pray that. But God, please don't let us have any babies. I don't wanna serve. I don't wanna be up there with them. I just wanna be in church. See, because I signed up with this obligation mentality, this obligation attitude, instead of this burden. So by the second fifth Sunday, I'm like, so over it. This is not fun anymore. I've been peed on, I've been pooped on, the videos are boring, like, I just am not getting it. The obligation, right? The feeling of obligation left. And I no longer wanted to be there. Now, let me tell you the difference between obligation and burden, like I've said, okay? The reason I could stay in youth ministry for a long time, the reason that I was able to stay, so I was a youth pastor there for almost 5 years, and served before that as a youth leader role for almost 3 years before that. The reason I was able to commit 8 years to that church is because of the burden I had. See, I saw the burden for the lost in teenagers, but I couldn't look at babies and see the burden. I couldn't make the connection. I wish I knew then what I know now. I wish I knew then what I know now, because I guarantee, I hope anyways, that my attitude would have been different. I hope that my response would have been different, because here's the thing, your burden doesn't have to be to a certain area of ministry. It just has to be for the lost. You don't have to be burdened for kids ministry to serve in kids ministry. You have to be burdened for the lost who are going to come in, who have kids that need ministered to. See, we've been praying for a while, at least I've been praying. I hope you're praying too. Been praying for a long time, actually, before we accepted the positions to come here. As soon as I encountered your church, I started praying for Green Bay First. Honestly, I started praying for increase here before I knew anything about you. I started praying for increase that God would make this house a beacon of hope. That God would continue to draw in the lost here. And so we've been praying this for a long time now. And again, I hope you're praying that too. I hope that that's your prayer. That you're praying and asking God to bring the lost here. That we could be a house for them where the lost and the broken find Jesus. See, if that were to really happen, not that it's not happening, but if it were to really happen, we have to be ready for it. We have to be ready for the lost to come in. We have to be prepared, right? We have to be prepared to open our doors with good attitudes, right? We have to be prepared to embrace people who don't look like us. We have to be prepared to handle people we don't like. We have to be prepared to serve kids that we don't necessarily think smell so great. We have to be prepared for the lost to be lost. And we have to be prepared to serve them. And so I really believe that this is going to be, I really believe this. Not just because we're about to interview a pastor, I sincerely believe this. I said this kind of jokingly the other day, but I was serious. I really believe we're right on the cusp. I really believe we're right there. But in order for us to grow, in order for us to reach more people, we have to be willing to serve more. And so today, I want to invite you on a journey, a path of discipleship. Because a disciple is one who follows Christ. A disciple is one who serves others. Here's the thing. Green Bay First needs you to serve. The lost needs you to serve. Above and beyond all of that, God needs you to serve. And so listen, you might not be great with kids. You might not be great with teenagers. Not everybody is. Sometimes I'm not. You might not be great with teenagers or kids, but you might be okay with media. And you might be okay with running media in a kid's ministry. You might not be cut out to be a teacher, but you could run, right? You could run media. Or you might not be cut out to be a life group leader, but you can set up and run cafe every weekend. See, there's something for you. Everyone in here, there's something for you. And it doesn't have to be an area that you're burdened for, but I bet there's an area on there that you're burdened for. I bet there's an area there that you're excited about. I bet there's an area there that you could say, yeah, I think I could have some fun there. I think there's an area there that I'm really passionate about. See, we can't do what we do without your generosity, right? Without your willingness to serve. Without your willingness to do hard things. We can't do it without your help. I want to pray together real quick. God, today we thank you for the opportunity, God, to follow the example that your son laid out for us. God, to follow the example that Christ gave to us when he laid his life down for us. And so God, today we make a commitment to lay our lives down for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. God, we make a commitment today, God, to do the hard thing. God, we make a commitment today to wake up early on Sundays, even when there's 15 feet of snow. We make a commitment today to serve you above everything else. And because we're serving you, God, we make a commitment to serve others. So I pray today, God, for the ones with commitment issues, because I know that's real. I know it keeps us from serving. So I pray for the one, God, right now with anxiety in their spirit about whether or not they can fulfill what's being asked. And I pray that you would settle that anxiety right now. Holy Spirit, that you would give them joy and excitement, God, when it comes to serving. God, for what is in the next season. God, for what's coming up next. I pray, God, that you would begin, God, to create, God, desire and passion in our hearts for the lost. And God, lastly, we pray that this would be the house, God, that you draw the lost to. God, this would be a house, God, where you begin to draw broken people in. God, that you would begin, God, people who don't even have any idea how they got here, but they just ended up here. God, looking for something. God, looking for hope. God, looking for joy. Searching for something they can't get anywhere else. And so I pray that you would make this a house with arms open wide, God, where we're willing to serve, we're willing to give, and we're willing to embrace the lost. And so I pray that you give us opportunity this week to serve the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.